I'm here for you guys. Yes, sir. Yes, they were. And great question, Rob. You know what happened? I told my mom first. My mom's loving and accepting and open-minded. And when I told her, she freaked out. And she said, "You can't tell your dad." And this is, you know, this is in, this was in September of 82. So I was thinking, well, I got to tell my dad. I mean, he's getting up there in age, and you know, what if we, you know, we lose him? He'd had a heart attack. And so I started praying. Now, my mom, although she freaked out initially, she kept, there was something, the Holy Spirit had been gnawing at her heart. So she got, one of her friends took her to church in San Francisco. They lived out in San Francisco. She came to church when she was with us. She got excited about Jesus, gave her life to Christ. 8 months after I told her. My dad, she kept saying, "You can't tell dad." My father's old school, tough as nails, only 5'7", still intimidates me. Well, he doesn't anymore. He's with the Lord now. But it just, you know, a hard nose. I come to this country with nothing. I make, you know, very prideful, very hard, very old school. So I was afraid to tell him. So I kept thinking, all right, I'm going to tell him. And I would ask God, "Lord, help me here. Lord, help me." And so for 6 years, that God would give me an opportunity and that I was going to tell him. And I would chicken out every single time. They'd come out to visit us once a year. We'd go out there for a month once a year, and I would just chicken out. And so finally, this one thing that came out, we were playing the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday night. I took them to practice with me on Sunday because Chuck used to allow us to bring our family with us. And I said, "I'm going to tell them today." So we're driving into Three River Stadium for practice. I said, "I'm going to tell them on the way." And we almost got to Three River Stadium. I said, "I'm going to tell them on the way home." And so... We're gonna on the way home. I go, "I'm gonna tell them when we get home and watch the Bears and Cowboys on television." We're sitting there watching the game. I go, "I'm gonna tell them at halftime." And out of the blue, my father said, he goes, "Tunch, how come you never told me you became a Christian?" And I said, "Who?" He said, "How come you never told me you became a Christian?" I said, "Well, Dad, I was afraid of how you would react." And he said, "I think that's great." He said, "You know me, I'm one of these liberal guys." No, I go, "No, no, 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 no." He wasn't going to, Sharon and I got married in a Catholic church. He wasn't going to come to our church. Our wedding, he said, "I will not come to the church ceremony. I will only go to the reception." I go, "What do you mean you're only going to the reception?" He goes, "It is against my honor." I'm going, "What do you mean it's against your honor? What am I going to tell my friends? Oh, my dad's honor is hurt. He's not coming to the, you know." And that man... you know, all I could say is God softened his heart. And then once after that, man, I started pounding him. You know, I started sharing Jesus with him. I gave him a Bible. 1990, I get a letter from him. He said, I was reading the Bible you gave me. I was out fishing. He's out, lives in San Francisco. I was fishing in the bay. He said, the fish weren't biting. I was reading the Beatitudes. And he said, what can I give my son that would be very special this Christmas? And so he said, so I decided I'm going to join you in your faith in Christ as Savior. I went, oh, good Lord. You know, I mean, that was blown away. My father and mother moved to Pittsburgh. In 1999, he told our pastor, he said, at where we go to church, he said, I want to be baptized. All right? He was baptized. Now, it's not baptism that saves you. But he was baptized October 30th, 1999. The Lord took him March 10th of 2000. And I'll tell you what, gentlemen, I was there when my father passed. And I was holding his hand and I was praying. And I remember asking the Lord, I was going, Lord, is he scared? Does he know what's going on? And Lord, how do you not be scared? I don't hear God's voice. But something in my voice said, know my word, Tunch. If you know my word, you won't be scared. And I'm ready to take your father. And Romans 8, 36 and 37 is one of my favorite verses. And it says this. It says, for I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor heaven nor hell, nor angels nor demons, nor any powers or principalities can separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus. And God put that in my head just as surely as I would have seen it written in front of my face. And I believe that to be absolute truth. And so my father was with the Lord. Praise God. And my mom is saved, and I just thank God for that. And God is faithful. Man, God is faithful. God shows up. It's just up to us, man, to keep hammering and going to the throne and asking for that. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Well, we do a couple of different things. I mean, one of the things about us guys is sometimes at church we want to disappear, man. We want to hide. We'll come on Sunday, but if we have to get close to other men, it's like sometimes we bail on that. And so what I try to do is foster as many what I call opportunities to connect. And so we have a lot of event-type stuff, a kickoff event in the fall. We have a spring retreat. And then we have three fellowships through the course of the week. And I teach one Wednesday night. We have another two guys leading others. And then we spin off huddle groups off of that, small groups. See, God, you know, if you look at the model, Jesus gave himself to the 12, right? But he gave himself more intimately to Peter, James, and John. And the Bible tells us that John was the one that Jesus, the disciple that Jesus loved, right? And so the model is this, 12, 3, and 1. So I always ask guys, who's in your huddle? Who's on your team? I mean, the men's ministry is your team, but who's in your huddle? I mean, who are those guys that can ask you the tough questions? Like, are you in the Word? Are you watching what you should be? You know, do you need prayer? And so, you know, that huddle group, man, you know, we go by it. I'm sure like most men's groups, you know, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so shall one man sharpen an iron another. I've been very blessed. There's always been a mentor in my life who has challenged me, taught me, encouraged me, loved me, prayed for me, prayed with me. So that intimacy, that it's like the locker room, man. That's what we call our men's ministry. It's the locker room. That's the beauty. People say, what do you miss most about football? It's the locker room. The fellas, the guys, the camaraderie. Well, the locker room mentality among men in the body of Christ is much closer than any football locker room I was ever in. I mean, lining up. Who are you lining up with? Who's praying for you? Who's got your back? That's the kind of stuff we're doing. Get involved, guys. Seriously, like I said, Christianity is not a passive sport, man. It is full contact. Amen. Man, you got to get after it. Get in the game. I mean, it's great. I mean, I'll tell you what. I will guarantee this. I can't guarantee love, but I will guarantee this. If you get involved in your men's group, if you get involved with a group of men, you will not regret it. But if you let that time go, you will regret that. Yes, sir. First thing I did was next day I couldn't wait to see Wolf because he was a guy in Colby. I said, and I felt stupid. I really did. I didn't know what I go. Hey, I prayed the prayer. I didn't know what to say. I prayed the prayer, and they were like, yeah, oh, high fives. I mean, I didn't think they were going to be that excited. I just and they said, well, come on, man, you got to get in Bible study, and so get in and find a church. This church right here, where they preach the word. Tell somebody. Tell someone, man. I mean, I guarantee someone's been praying for you. Someone. Now, everyone in this room that is here that didn't know Christ before they walked in here, or maybe still done, someone's praying for you. I mean, maybe not one person. I mean, a boatload of people are praying for you. So, tell somebody. I mean, if you made that commitment today, tell someone. Tell the guy that brought you. Tell your pastor. Tell, maybe it's, who knows, tell somebody. And get started. I mean, you know, you get into the Word, get into a church, get into a Bible study. Getting the camaraderie, the fellowship. I mean, that's what it's all about. Do something. Yeah, yes, sir. You know what? Vic, I want to pray for Tony Dungy. I mean, Tony Dungy is you know what? And I'll tell you what. I will do that before we leave here. What you have today, I think the very cool thing is that not only are two African-American coaches coaching against one another in the Super Bowl for the first time, but two men that love Jesus are coaching against each other. I don't know if that's for the first time, but I know that there are two men who have a great love. And I know Lovey and I know Tony. And, man, I love those guys. I mean, those guys love Jesus. And I know that, you know, winning football games is not what they're about. it is winning souls for Christ. Any other questions? Yes, sir, buddy. Oh, Colts. Anybody else? Where? I lost. Yes, sir. My favorite player? Hines Ward. He's tougher than woodpecker lips. I love him, man. I mean, he is tougher than woodpecker. He's old school. He's definitely my favorite. There's a lot of guys I like. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
How's the current Steeler team from a spiritual aspect?
I know Jeff Harding's well, so I know he loves Christ. I know Dan Kreider, Troy, oh my gosh, what was the name of the guy they just got from the Redskins this past year, the safety? I can't believe I'm blank. Ryan Clark loves Christ. You know, he's got his favorite scripture verse on a towel that he wears on his belt. And those are the guys that I know because they're very outspoken. And I'm sure. Anybody else? Well, yes, sir.
Was there ever a time in your life when you brought yourself to Jesus, the Lord, that something happened and just for one moment you were like, why?
Oh, once? Hey, a lot of stuff. I mean, my wife is battling breast cancer, and it's been for 2 years. And there's part of me that says, Lord, this is my best friend in the world, 25 years. You know, I've had a son who went through a prodigal experience. I was going, why? You know what? And it's almost like God says, hey, I gave you my son. I didn't tell you. Nowhere in the Bible it says, hey, you follow me, it's going to be easy. Nowhere does it say, if you follow me, sunshine and beaches. It doesn't say that. It says this, that if you follow me, I will prepare a place for you in heaven. Now, that's a promise. And it says, and he also says, if you follow me, you're going to have tough times here on earth. But you know what? You ain't going on it alone because I'm going to walk you through it step by step. You know? I mean, that's one thing I do know. I have had some heartbreak in my life. I have had some tough times. And you know what? God is faithful. I mean, he says, my grace is sufficient. And his grace doesn't show up any sooner than right on time. Or any later than right on time. And he walks us through it. The question is, am I willing? Am I willing to say, Lord, I need you, man. I mean, I can't do this on my own. And I tell you what, it is in those toughest times, in the toughest times of my life, in the times when I've laid awake at night going, what's up with this? You know, that God has said, my grace is sufficient. And all those scripture verses that deal with tough times, man, they became very real in my life. You know, 1 Peter, don't be surprised when trials and tribulation come your way as if something strange was happening. But rejoice that you partake in the suffering of Christ. I don't want to suffer because I'm a wimp at heart. But God says, I'm there when you suffer. And that's a promise that is truth. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Amen. You know what? I could speak to the Turkish culture. Okay. You know what? Engage them. Don't get into an apologetics. You know, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Quran says. But engage them. Tell them. Don't be so quick to try to persuade people that the Bible is truth and Jesus is God. But share, this is what Jesus has done for me. And so, see, now you have dialogue. Then they'll start asking questions. Like a common a question that a lot of Muslims will ask is, well, we've grown, and the Turks, the way the Turks have grown up. Well, we heard, we grew up that the words were changed by the monks and the rabbis in the Bible. So the Bible is false. And that's why Allah gave the Quran to Muhammad. Well, a great response to that is, well, do you believe God is God Almighty? And a Muslim will say, yes. Well, don't you think God is powerful enough to protect His word from people changing it? See, now you're asking a question. You know, and the dialogue is what gets them thinking. See, because I'm telling you what, once you start hearing the word, you go, ooh, you know. And when you see, you know, when Christians, with the love they have for one another, and see, the Muslim culture, the Turkish culture is steeped in fear. It is really steeped in fear. I think that's why us Turks are so nuts about fighting, because we're really afraid. And this kind of, this fighting somehow overcompensates for our fear. The culture is steeped in fear, because they don't know what happens when they die. You know, when you hear someone go, hey, I'm going to heaven, you kind of go, you know that? You know? If I confess with my tongue and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, I am saved. Bible says so. Promise. Right? So that's the key. Engaging them. Sharing your life. You know, I mean, I'm a first. In Muslim, with Turks especially, it is relational evangelism. You know, it is not in your face. It's not shying away from the truth, but it's relational. It's relational. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Well, you know, they think I'm the goofy religious guy. You know what? I've shared with Myron for years.